Okay, hello everyone. My name is Daniel Schneider. I'm replacing Kalin, the main InkStitch developer. So I'm an InkStitch user and teacher. And InkStitch is an embroidery platform that is based on Inkscape. So many of my talk, motivation, why embroidery, brief history. Then I'll discuss a little bit the relationship with Inkscape, and I'll give you a short crash course on what machine embroidery is, and then I'll show you a short example. So why do we use embroidery? Well, it's some form of artistic expression, personalization. Brands have their embroidery, companies, even open source projects. Yourself, you can create your own identity. It's like having a tattoo, but on clothes. It's durable, unlike PLA puppets that you print, you know, they decay after a few months. It can be used for upcycling, like you have a hole in a sweater and you put a nice penguin in front, so your sweater is actually nicer than it used to be before. So you can have a look at this. It has several of repairs. It's quite versatile. You can do frisbees. Look, this is frisbee. It doesn't fly very well. I have 10 more of these. So these are badges and key fobs with Libre graphics on it. And also you can stitch on several types of materials like clothes, shoes, and so forth. So the history is quite old. We can find embroidery a few thousand years back. So one nice example is a Tutankhamun tomb has some embroidery. And I jumped to machine embroidery, has been invented in the beginning of the 19th century in France, a hand embroidery machine. I will show you pictures. And then Switzerland came up with massive parallel design where hundreds of needles could stitch things. They have been motorized, and by the end of the 19th century, these machines actually were driven by code, okay, with a tape and holes. The first digital modern embroidery machine was invented in Japan in the 60s. And home machines in the 90s, modern software goes back to the 80s. And modern software means basically, I'll come back to that, that you define shapes, and for each shape you define how it should be stitched. That's the modern principle. And nowadays it's a very consolidated, even conservative area. So you can buy machines that are not too expensive. There's a huge choice of commercial software. But by the way, picture to embroidery conversion does not yet work. So here are some pictures. On the left, top left, we have a manual machine where a person would like move a pantograph around, and when the person pressed, then some needles would go down somewhere else. And the same design has then been replicated by so-called Chifley machines. They have hundreds, or the modern versions that they do still exist. They had like thousands of needles. Then I have pictures of more modern multi-head machines here. And consumer machines, they exist in several versions. You can have smaller ones, bigger ones. The modern consumer machines don't allow you to stitch on clothes, or they do allow it, but it's very complicated, and you cannot stitch on legs and stuff like that, or small T-shirts. So they are made actually to produce rather bags and stuff like that. And the latest machine that has been created sort of goes back to fundamentals. It's meant to be stitched on clothes, and it's cheap. It's like 430 euros. So, embroidery software, the earliest software, basically required you to define stitches. So you would like go like this, tack, 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 and that would represent the points the machine has to stitch. Okay, but modern software, as I said, you define shapes, and for each shape, you attach information that tells how the shape should be stitched. The price of the software is 500 to 1,500 for something that's useful, typically in the 1,000 area. Crippleware, that's fairly useless software, sort of level zero and level one versions of the professional software or semi-professional software. It's fairly expensive and doesn't allow you to do much. You can position objects, do some lettering and maybe some converting, and industrial one is 3 to 10K. All design formats are proprietary. You design something in some software, you cannot port it to or open it in another software. There are no exchange formats. Machine formats are fairly simple. Basically, it tells the machine, stitch here, jump here, stop here, change color. These are also proprietary, but you have conversion tools. And the main functionality of embroidery software is some image processing, mainly converting some picture, raster image or vector image to embroidery objects, manual digitizing. So it's also a drawing tool. You can draw your embroidery objects, modify them, and most importantly, parameterize them. And parameterize means, as I said before, that you explain to the software how a certain area or shape should be stitched. And lettering is important because if you are an amateur or even a professional, it takes a long time to get letters right. So in embroidery software, the letters are already pre-digitized. And you have all sorts of letters. Like here I have an example that's a non-typical thing. It's a cat font, and here is another one. It's a tartan feel, and that's part of ink stitch. And then, of course, you should be able to simulate the whole thing so you can and analyze it in various ways. So the basic workflow of embroidery, you start from a picture, you convert it. That's one way of doing it. Doesn't work always that well unless the picture is very clear and simple. Or you start drawing embroidery objects, so you have a design file. And then you parameterize each shape in the design file. You can edit, you adapt it. Sometimes you have to change the shape a little bit. You export to machine code, then you give it to the machine, and the machine will produce the embroidery. And then you come back and revise it because you never get it right in the first time you do it. So let's have a look at what is Libre here. Some utilities, very old-fashioned stitch-by-stitch tool. There are some libraries that are quite good, but they can only be used by developers. There is one interesting program made in Austria that's next door, Turtle Stitch. It's a programming education language like Snap. It's actually based on Snap. So if you don't like robots, you can teach your kids programming with embroidery. And there is only one free embroidery program, which is InkStitch. There have been other projects, or there are other projects, but for the moment, they never made it past alpha or beta stage. And there is some do-it-yourself hardware, but that's like bricolage, okay? You take an old sewing machine, you take it apart, you hack it, basically, okay? This is a hacking thing. It's not like 3D printers that you can buy and then assemble. Now I'm talking about Inkscape. So the nice thing about Inkscape is that there are great features that you can already use. People are familiar. I used Inkscape before I used InkStitch. Also, you can use the same design with modifications, of course, and render it with another machine, for instance, a laser cutter. The basic paradigm of an SVG element, or what is called an object in Inkscape, is the same as an embroidery object. It has a start and an end, and it has vector information inside. So the difference between a normal SVG element object and an InkStitch object is just the InkStitch adds annotations. Okay, it has its own namespace, and it tells, it gives sort of information. You'll see that in the demo. There are challenges. Manual installation is very difficult for most people who are not computer saving, which is the majority of people. People cannot copy files, cannot unzip files. So that has been solved with an installer. Inkscape is difficult to learn. I mean, you have to make an effort and do at least the 3 or 4 tutorials that are in the help, or watch videos for a few weeks. You know, that's the alternative. And of course, the interface is not geared towards embroidery. I mean, you have lots of tools in the interface, and the tools, they stay there, and you cannot add extra palettes or change the palette for making it an embroidery tool. That's one difficulty. And the other difficulty is that InkStitch users have to follow certain conventions. For instance, in order to get a so-called satin stitch, you need one element, so one path, and inside the path you have 2 lines, 2 rails, and then you have rungs across the rails, and all that needs to be in the same path. This is easy for someone who is familiar with Inkscape, but difficult for beginners. Also, there are pop-up windows, they do block, which is also a bottleneck for some beginners. And so, shortly, an introduction to embroidery. In embroidery, you have 2 types of stitches. Okay? So this elephant here has 3 elements. It has the body here, and you would fill it with a so-called fill stitch. And then you have an area, sort of the collar, which is made with a so-called satin stitch. That's a parallel stitch. And you have the eye that's done with a running stitch, and I will show you details for each. So this is a running stitch. Okay, you start with lines. And then if you parameterize, the engine will actually generate points that will have to be stitched. That's the picture in the middle. And in the picture to the right, you see how it has been stitched. Actually, there is some extra thing that is being done here. Stitches are repeated so that you can see the thing a little bit better. And there are variants of that. So you can have a so-called ripple stitch. You draw one line, for instance, a wave. And then the waves are replicated below. That would be a ripple stitch. And the fill stitch is the typical fill stitch is used to fill larger areas. And it's called tatami stitch because it looks like a Japanese mattress. So basically, you go and stitch one line, tack, 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 tack. And the second line has an inset or an offset of 25%, and you do the your stitches again, and the third line has 50% inset, and so forth, okay? And you can have variants of that. So here we have every 4th line is the same, but you can also say that I want every 5th line to be the same. You can say that you want some variation, some random variation inside, and in commercial programs you have hundreds of these. InkStitch, you don't have that much choice. Satin stitch, that's sort of the most difficult stitch in embroidery, and also the most noble. Good embroidery uses a lot of satin. So, as I said before, in InkStitch or in a normal embroidery program, also satin stitch is defined by 2 borders, and then the machine will stitch from one border to the other, just parallel stitches like that. Okay. So it will generate, you have one something to the left, it will generate this. Okay, and here are examples. So satin stitches are mostly used to in fonts, for borders, and to do little things like leaves. Okay? And you also got some variants of that stitch here. So that's, as I said, that's a challenge for newbies. Okay, most people who start using Inkscape and InkStitch in this context, they have absolutely no skills, computer skills. I mean, they do have other skills, but I'm talking about computer skills. So it's very difficult for them to get this drawing under number 5 to get done. So InkStitch has actually lots of conversion tools. For instance, you can draw a big fat line and then just say convert, and it will generate the right Inkscape drawing from which the generator will then generate the embroidery plan. Or you can also use a small line and say, I want to have something like Christmas balls, and you get this, that's number two. Or you could go by hand and do a drawing, like with the pen tool. What's it called? Pencil, I always mix them up. The Bezier tool, I mean, you just go click, 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 and then you say convert, and it will generate this form here. There are variants. I mean, this is here you would go like that, but you can also do it that way. Okay? Now, just the challenge. Embroidery is not very difficult, but it's complicated. It's a bit like education. You have like maybe 20 or 30 variables to get it right. In embroidery, there's lots of things that can go wrong. And one of the things that can go wrong is the fact that embroidery will pull in the stitch direction like this, and it will push in the other direction. So here, in this picture here, you can see there is some little gap because it pulled things together, and here you have another gap. And below here, you can see the yellow actually goes beyond the border, so it pushed outside. And you have to compensate with that. You can do this by doing a wrong drawing. Actually, if you want the circle, you can draw an egg and you will get the circle. Or you can use so-called compensation in the parameters. Now, some information about the project. There are two websites, the website with the good, nice manual, and there is the repository for the software. It's an active project, so they have yearly releases with new features. It's fully localized in three languages and partly localized in other languages. Support groups are on Facebook, because that's where the people are. They can't do anything about that. And the largest is the French group. It has 10,000 members, because they have a very active administrator, or two or three, but one is particularly active and probably does it almost full-time, a retired teacher, and she runs it really well. And it's a miracle in a way. The development team is very small, one or two persons at a given time, okay, which that's an issue. And downloads, about the last version has been downloaded, maybe I have to, 175,000 times, which is quite good. I don't know how many people then really use it, but it's maybe 15, maybe 20,000 or so, which is quite a lot. So I'm going to give you a short demo. So I have to get out, click, and I will go here. Actually, I would like to have my mouse. I miss my mouse. I'm not able to use. I'm an old person. So here I have an elephant. And InkStitch is an extension, so it's here. And there is one thing which is really important, that's central. It's params. So I clicked on the body here. It has three elements here. I have the body, I have the eye, and I have the color. So I'm clicking on body. And here, to the left, you see the parameters, and to the right, you see a simulation. So depending on what stitch you select, you can have several fill stitches here. This is the normal tatami stitch. You would set the angle. Here it's set to 60 degrees. I make it 30 degrees. Then you have the density, which is very important. Normally you stitch between 4.5 and 5 lines per millimeter. But in InkStitch, you have you don't say that, you give the distance between the lines, okay? And 0.2 between lines, that will be 5 lines per millimeter, so you have to make a conversion. Here I have a little bit less. Then you can define the stitch length, usually between 3 and 4. Let's put 4. And once I'm happy, I just apply. Okay, I don't need to see the simulation. Now here, let's have a look at the eye. That's a simple running stitch. The width of the line is of no importance. I mean, what you draw in Inkscape is just to help you if it's 0.2 millimeters, 0.4, 0.6. It's just to help you see it, okay? So basically, a line is rendered, is defined by what you say here. And usually, you cannot just stitch a line like this with a running stitch because you don't see it. You have to repeat. You either go around twice or 3 times, or you go back and forth. For instance, you stitch like this. Tuck, 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 tuck. Okay, and here are the parameters. I have like 2. That means that I go back and forth 5 times. Forward, backward, forward, backward, forward. That's 5 times. Then I repeat that 2 times. That's a bit too much. So I put it back to 1. Okay? And so here I have my running stitch. And now let's look at the satin stitch. As I said before, this is the challenge for ink stitch users who are not familiar with drawing. So you have 2 lines, that's 2 rails, and then you have these rungs that will give you the direction of the satin stitch. Now let's have a look at the simulation that will make it a little bit more clear. So here I see a simulation. I give the distance again. Distance is not between lines, but between every 2 lines, so it's between the peaks. That's fine with me. Then I can create underlays. I didn't mention them, but I do it here. So I can put something underneath that would make the satin stitch a little bit fatter, a little bit 3D. I can put some contours that will make it sharper. And once I'm happy, I click apply and I quit. Okay. Just the last word here for the fill stitch, because I forgot. I'll come back to that. So you always actually do an underlay when you do embroidery. An underlay is a light stitch that you put underneath the stitch, and it has 2 functions. One function is to stabilize the tissue, and the other one is to make the whole thing a bit denser. And it's basically there automatically for the fill stitch, but the satin you have to ask it. So the lines that go like this here is underlay. So I will show the simulation here. See, this is underlay, and now I do the fill stitch. I can also see the dots and that it will generate. So I'm done with the demo and done with my talk, and thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much. Are there any questions left? Yes, 1 question already.
Thank you for the talk. I was just curious on the elephant, like the more complex stitch that you mentioned.
Yeah.
The cross lines, are they, like, how does it distinguish between the longer lines and the cross lines that tell the direction? Is it just like the length?
Or? Yeah, that's some heuristic that the programmer has to know. I think they are shorter. Okay. And the other thing is, there can be an ambiguous situation where they have both the same length. And in that case, if there is only one that defines the direction, they pick that one. And otherwise, if you put 2, that's maybe a bad idea, so you should put 3 there. Yeah.
So in what format does InkStitch output in the end?
Okay, in embroidery, you always have to decide between design format. So the design format, as I said before, is SVG, just with annotations, okay? So in XML, you're allowed to add whatever information you want to an object. So you add just information to a typical Inkscape object, and then you can export. And the export goes like this. You say file, save a copy, because export is reserved for PNG in Inkscape. And here you choose the file, okay? And as I said, mentioned briefly, each brand of machine has its own format. And InkStitch supports most every format there is. Okay, for instance, Brother would eat PES, okay? Or DST, which is an industry format that has less information. So these are, so you choose your format according to the machine you have, and you're there.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, there's one more question. We're going to do that.
Does machine embroidery not have cross stitches?
There are some commercial programs do have cross stitches. In InkStitch, there are no cross stitches, not proper ones, but you can have something that comes quite close. So, for instance, I can show you. I will do a knockdown stitch, which uses these, okay? So I can go to extensions, InkStitch, and I say, where is it? Selection to knockdown fill. Okay, so I have an offset here. Oh, I should maybe type in the number, it would be faster. So, now let's have a look at this. If you stitch on towels that you go take to the beach, okay, you have hairy fabric, and the hairy fabric sort of you knock it down, okay? And see here. Here is this is not exactly a cross stitch, but this is uses three lines. But I can do the same thing with two lines. For instance, I say 45 here, and then the underlay I use just minus 45, and then probably I have to adjust the stitch lengths, two here, and maybe two here. Oh shit! I'm bad in mathematics. Oh, the max stitch length should be two. This is basic math that you have to understand here. I'm not so good. I'm too old to do that.
Okay, and
but roughly it's that. Okay, I can make the stitch length to four, and it will actually work more or less. Okay, more or less.
Okay, thank you very much, Ben.